plate a potential nugget.
Back to your book, Dory. You refer to Paul Hersey's quote to Marshall Goldsmith, right? He was on the podcast as well a few months back. He says, you're too successful. You're making too much money and you're never going to be who you could be. How have you thought about this phrase and in the context of your journey and how you've evolved over time?
Yes. Well, you're picking some juicy quotes here. The context of this for folks who haven't read The Long Game is that Paul Hersey was Marshall Goldsmith's mentor. Marshall is today a very well-known executive coach, and Paul Hersey was his kind of organizational development consulting mentor back when he was a younger man, and gave Marshall his first break. And the point that he was making is that if all you're doing, if all your energy is around optimizing for revenue, in Marshall's case, he was young and he was making great money. So why would you not do that? That's wonderful up to a point. But ultimately, most of us measure our life in different ways. It's not all about money. Money's great. We want plenty of money, but it becomes a problem if it's all about money. And what Paul was encouraging Marshall to turn to, and he did eventually turn to it, although in my interview in The Long Game, he says he regrets it. It took him too long. he was too jazzed about the money. But eventually he turned his attention a little bit to things that could actually help him leave a legacy. And, I'm not talking about leave a legacy like when you're 80, but I mean creating intellectual property you can be proud of. What is it that you're putting out into the world that you get known for, that you get identified with? Because if all you're doing is client service, essentially, you might make good money, but you're not really making a mark on the discourse beyond the people that you're helping with your own two hands. And that's what Paul wanted for Marshall. And eventually Marshall did, of course, end up creating some wonderful and very lasting works. He's written a number of New York Times best-selling books like What Got You Here Won't Get You There and Triggers. He's created methodologies like his stakeholder-centered coaching. And that's actually in turn been able to help many, many more people. And he's been able to scale himself. But you really have to willfully make that choice.
Hmm. And in a related context, Dory, you talk about moving beyond trading time for dollars, right? As we think about both from an impact perspective, but also from a commercial lens, how have you thought about moving beyond trading time for dollars?
Well, this became an acute concern for me at the end of 2015, because my book Standout had been released, and I decided I wanted to go all in on promoting it. And I did. And that year, I ended up giving 74 talks, which was wow, a lot of talks, and I was traveling for most of them. So I was on the road, at least every week, sometimes multiple times a week. And it was the end of the year, and I was sick. I had another cold, and I was just kind of feeling miserable and wondering, why am I doing this? This is so brutal. And the thought occurred to me, I had like a flu, but the thought occurred to me, wow, what if I got really sick? I couldn't do this. And that would be an even bigger problem, because the speaking was a big part of my revenue. And so I realized that I needed to get smart about taking the steps so that I could protect myself and, protect the downside in case anything happened. Because there were two things that I thought might happen. I mean, one, I hope it doesn't, is that I would get sick. The other was that inevitably there would be some kind of a recession. And I thought, well, we all know how that works. Conferences are the first thing that gets cut, so they're not going to have me come speak. What I did not predict, notably, was a pandemic. And somehow I missed that. And the interesting thing, though, was that the same thing happened. By preparing for an eventuality where I couldn't travel or where conferences were canceled, that de facto enabled me to prepare for a world where there was a pandemic and everything was canceled. And so what I had done was really accelerate my foray into online courses. And that ended up being a saving grace, because for 2020, a massive number of talks that I had planned just got canceled and went away. And it could potentially have been very financially devastating for me. But amazingly, it actually turned into my most successful year ever financially, because I had been laying the groundwork for the preceding 5 or 6 years with online courses, and that ended up burgeoning during that time.
This has been something that's on my mind for the last few years. At least what I've told myself is that the advisory work I do is high touch, low reach. It probably makes a difference to 20, 30 leaders a year. The podcast, however, is low touch, high reach. And hopefully it makes a difference to you, the listener, in reflecting on some of these themes and becoming a better version of yourself. The podcast is also something that I hope will outlive me when I'm gone. This is at least the goal I set for myself in terms of the nature of content I want to create. I came across something inspirational in one of my earlier conversations in a place where I least expected. I was speaking to the stand-up comedian Atul Khatri, and we spent a lot of time on his transition from running an IT business to becoming a stand-up comedian. But along the way, he said something about the kind of content he wanted to create, something that stayed with me.
So I tend to not write very topical jokes, you know. If you have a topical thing, so if you have to write about, I don't know, about anything, like demonetization.
The shelf life becomes limited, right?
Yeah. So it's maximum, like, people will remember it for like 4-5 months. Even though it's a hot topic, people will remember it five. After that, people themselves say, please move on here. You know, we've moved on, you moved on. Like in the COVID, now I'm sure when I go up on stage, I have not written one COVID joke. You know, first of all, a lot of jokes are already there. And I don't know, because I think once you get out, you don't want to hear COVID. I think you're sick and tired of COVID. You know, you heard all the jokes. You know, it's not a positive experience that you want to hear about it again. You know, so I think, yeah, so topicality, I try to avoid. You know, I always compare people, like, you know, the old Anand Bakshi lyrics or Kishore Kumar songs. Even today, they sound so good because they were so well written, you know. So I tell all comedians, write your every joke should be like an Anand Bakshi lyric or a Kishore Kumar, like a song with some other, you know, good, like, you know, whoever the other good lyricists were, Gulzar or Javed Akhtar or whatever. Write your songs so, write your material so that after 10 years also people should listen to it, laugh at that joke. And it should not get topical. It should still be fresh. It should still be maybe relevant or not relevant, but it should still be funny.
I'm a big fan of Kishore Kumar too. When I'm creating my content, I find this as an interesting filter. I ask myself, is this a Kishore Kumar song that I'm trying to create? Or is it something like Kolaveri D or Gangnam Style that goes viral for a bit and then is forgotten forever?